This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Now, we all love a good beach holiday, don't we, Adam?
Yeah, we certainly do.
Thailand, Fiji, the Maldives. Where would you pick?
I'd probably go for the Chagos Archipelago.
Where?
The Chagos Archipelago is the location of a paper published this week all about how rats impact coral reefs.
Oh, wait. How could rats affect coral reefs?
That is an excellent question, and here's Ellie Mackay to tell us more.
When it comes to doing scientific fieldwork, a tropical island like those in the Chagos Archipelago probably sounds like an ideal location. But as I heard this week, it's not all margaritas on the beach.
No, far from it. It's hard work, and it's hot. It's far from a holiday. I lost 3 kilos on the last trip I went on.
This is Nick Graham, lead author of a new paper exploring some of the complex ecosystems on the Chagos Archipelago, a chain of coral atolls in the Indian Ocean. His team have been hard at work uncovering a fascinating but worrying chain of events that links the arrival of invasive rats with the health of coral reefs in the surrounding water. And it's all thanks to poop. The Chagos is home to a huge number and density of seabirds, which feed on nutrient-rich fish in the open ocean. When these seabirds come to roost, the nutrients in their droppings get washed onto the shallow reefs nearby, so fish there grow bigger and faster. These fish then graze on the corals, preventing a build-up of algae, which would otherwise slow the corals' growth. But as with most tropical islands around the world, the vast majority of the islands in the Chagos Archipelago have been invaded by rats, which have wiped out the unprepared bird populations. Without the birds, there's no poop, and therefore less nitrogen runoff, so fish are smaller and there's less maintenance of the coral reef. So introduce rats on the land, and you harm the coral in the ocean. Nick Graham sent me an audio recording from one of the rat-free islands. And I gave him a call to ask him what it's like standing on these islands.
When you set foot on one of the bird islands, the birds are very, very noisy. The skies are full of birds flying around overhead. The vegetation and the trees are full of birds that are roosting or sitting on nests. It's a really alive place. It's a vibrant place full of frigate birds, shearwaters, boobies, terns, noddies. And the islands smell. You can really smell the pungent, the guano, the bird poo in the air.
And what about the other islands, the rat-infested islands? You sent me some audio from there as well.
It's completely different. The skies are empty, the islands are quiet, there's next to no seabirds on them. You don't have the pungent smell in the air. It's chalk and cheese. They're completely different.
And this difference is all down to the rats?
That's right. So the islands with no rats on them have about 760 times more seabirds than the islands with rats. This is a huge difference.
And so to compare the two islands, you've measured lots of different factors. Nitrogen levels in the leaves and soil and in the tissue of fish and sponges and algae. You measured fish biomass and diversity. You sampled parrotfish bite marks to measure grazing rates and coral erosion. One strange thing I noticed that you looked at was damselfish ear bones. Why was that?
That's right. So the interesting thing with fish is that the ear bones in fish lay down growth rings very much like a tree does. So you can actually quite accurately age a fish by the rings that are laid down annually in their ear bones. These ear bones are called otoliths. So we removed the otoliths from fish on islands with and without rats to look at their growth rates.
And how fiddly a technique is that? How big are these ear bones? And do you put them under a microscope to count the rings? Or
that's right. So the otoliths are very small, maybe 4 or 5 millimetres wide. You have to fix them onto a glass tile and then very carefully grind the edge of the otolith flat. And then you can look at that smooth surface and count the growth rings that way. And I think this is the first time that the influence of seabirds in terms of the nutrients they're putting into reefs have been shown to influence the growth rates of a vertebrate.
And the results you got from all of these measurements, the numbers are pretty big. The rat-free islands had 250 times more nitrogen, 50% higher biomass of fish, 3 times more grazing of the reef, and 4 times more bioerosion of the reef. So were you surprised to see this much difference between the rat-infested and the rat-free islands?
This was a high-risk project. I didn't know how the results were going to turn out, and we were completely blown away by just how strong the signals are. So it was really amazing to see just how important these seabirds are for the coral reefs.
And what are you hoping your research will be used for? Because you've sort of put a call to action at the end of your paper.
That's right. I think the study really speaks quite clearly to the benefit of de-ratting tropical islands. We're constantly trying to look at ways to bolster the health of coral reef ecosystems, which are really at the front line of impacts from climate change. And it's very difficult to find tangible things we can do for reefs, but rat eradication, I think, should be a high priority for conservation and management efforts. We know it can be done. It's not nearly as costly as it as a lot of other management interventions. And we know that it would have a huge benefit for terrestrial and marine ecosystems.
That was Nick Graham from Lancaster University in the UK. We also have a video breaking down the link between rats and reefs. Watch that over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/naturevideochannel.